إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session. And final yani session with this topic, itba' al-ilm bil-amal. Yani the importance or the necessity of following ilm, following up knowledge with amal, actions. We're reading from the speech of Shaykh Abdus Salam ibn Burjis, Ali Abdul Karim, rahimahullah, in which he has outlined for us some of the primary or fundamental benefits that a person is expected to receive if they follow up knowledge with action, yani that they act upon their knowledge. And he has also mentioned some other words of encouragement as a means of reminding us of the importance of pushing or pressing ourselves to act upon the knowledge that we attained. Before we look at the final comments from the Shaykh, what he said concerning this topic, yani of following up knowledge with action, before we look at his final comments, we want to go back to some of the topics that we mentioned last week in the second session. The first question being, discuss the third benefit mentioned by the author of following knowledge with action. The third benefit that the Shaykh mentioned, and the following question mentioned the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and the ayah which supports this point. Okay, the first part of the question, the third benefit that the Shaykh mentions of following up knowledge with action. I'm going to start with Abdul Haq now, because I'm always passing over Abdul Haq to give somebody else a chance to participate, because Allahu alam, yani, he seems like he comes prepared to answer every question. So I can't call him for every question, right? So today I'm going to start with him. In case I skip him for the rest of the night, inshallah, at least we know we didn't miss Abdul Haq. Now. Yani that the following up of knowledge with action, acting upon one's knowledge, increases that person in knowledge. Yani increases their knowledge and makes them firm in the Sharia knowledge. Yani makes them to be yani solidly established and firm in the Sharia knowledge. Second question. Yani what mentioned the saying of Ali ibn Abi Talib which supports this point, and as well the ayat which supports this point. Allahu musta'an. Naam ya Musa. حتفة حتفة فعل ماضي حتفة
حتفة العلم بالعمل فإن أجابه وإلا ارتحل.
نعم وإن أجابه وإلا ارتحل ارتحل. نعم. What is the meaning of this يا ها نعم
يا knowledge with action, if not it will leave
you. Pretty much. Yani hatafa literally means what? Nada. Hatafa, yani hat al hatif, telephone, right? Calling somebody. Hatafa al ilmu bil amali. Yani that knowledge calls upon action. Yani to act upon it. Naam. And it's calling upon the person who possesses knowledge to act upon that knowledge. Naam, then he said, so if it answers, if it responds, meaning that he acts, then this is fine. وَإِلَّا إِرْتَحَلَ Then it leaves. يعني ذهب ونسي. يعني it will go and the person will forget. يعني Ali ibn Talib رضي الله عنه, he said, knowledge is calling out. Act, act. So if the person acts, fine. If they don't, then what? The knowledge, if it doesn't get a response, it what? It leaves. It goes on to somewhere else, to someone else. Naam. And the ayat that supports this, the ayat that the Shaykh mentioned supporting this. Fadl. Naam. Ya'ani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. And then he responds that if a person does observe taqwa of Allah, يُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ, then Allah will himself, Allah will teach you, meaning that Allah will give you more knowledge. Allah will give you more knowledge. Naam. Does anybody remember the other ayah that we mentioned? That is mentioned in the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. He said, what is even more clear than this ayah is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Naam. That all you who believe, if you observe taqwa of Allah, meaning if you act upon the knowledge that you have received, you observe taqwa of Allah, acting upon that knowledge, fulfilling Allah's commands, avoiding His prohibitions, based upon knowledge, if a person does this, then Allah will make for you a furqan. A furqan meaning? Criterion. Yani criterion by which you will be able to distinguish between al-haqaiq. You will know the difference between the realities of things. You will know the difference between falsehood, the truth and the falsehood, the sunnah and bid'ah and so on, iman and kufr. Yani by the furqan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person observes taqwa of Allah, meaning if they act upon the knowledge that they have, yani faithfully observing Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions. The Shaykh Sa'di, he said, rahimahullah, that taqwa is a means, wasila. It's a means of achieving knowledge. It's a means of achieving knowledge. Observe taqwa of Allah and Allah will yani teach you. Allah will increase you in knowledge. Naam. These ayat and this statement of Ali support the meaning that what? If a person acts upon their knowledge, then they will be increased in knowledge. Question number 3. Discuss the statement of Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, as it relates to action being the criterion of knowledge. Action being the criterion of murshid.
An alim would remain jahil until he acts upon it. If he acts upon it, he makes himself into an alim.
Naam. The alim, the scholar, he will remain ignorant of that which he has learned until he acts upon it. Until he acts upon it. And then if he acts upon it, now yani he becomes a real alim. Naam. Anybody remember this saying of Hudayl in Arabic?
لا يزال العالم جاهلا بما علم حتى يعمل به فإذا عمل به كان عالما.
يا أبو بكر حفظته؟
أبو بكر
اسمعنا. Let's hear.
لا يزال العالم جاهلا بما علم حتى يعمل به فإذا عمل به كان عالما.
نعم. لا يزال العالم جاهلا منسوب. طيب. And that's only because you know better. نعم. جزاك الله خير. طيب. Question number 4. Mention the statement of Sufyan ibn Uyayna رحمه الله and those Muslims. يعني the statement concerning those Muslims who resemble Yahud and Nasara. Statement of Sufyan ibn Uyayna رحمه الله concerning the Muslims resemble the Yahud and Nasara. Nobody else? Ya Musa.
Man dolla min ulama'ina fafihi shaba'un min al-Yahud. Man dolla fi umbadina.
Min.
Min umbadina fafihi shaba'un min al-Nasara.
Min al-Nasara. Yani man dolla, man fasada, man inharafa min ulama'ina. Whoever goes astray, is misguided, is corrupted from our scholars, then he is resembling the Yahud. Yani who had the knowledge but didn't act upon it. And whoever goes astray, whoever becomes corrupted, whoever deviates from amongst our ubad, the people who are engaged constantly in worship, whoever goes astray from them, then they have the resemblance of the Nasara, who was doing worship. but without knowledge, based upon ignorance. And this, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, this was the saying of Sufyan ibn Uyayna and others from amongst the Salaf. Yani said, that which is similar or the same as it. Question number 5, discuss the fourth benefit. The fourth benefit mentioned by the author of following knowledge with actions. The fourth benefit. Naam. Naam, ya Muhammad. Muhammad. Whoever follows up their knowledge with action, whoever acts upon their knowledge will be able to give the correct answer on Yawm al-Qiyamah when they are questioned about their knowledge. What did they do with it? They will be able to give the correct answer. Okay, the correct answer will not be based upon you memorize the correct answer. It will be based upon your action in this world. Only if you act upon it, you'll be able to answer. What did you do with your knowledge? I acted upon it. You won't be able to say that unless you acted upon it. And this is critical, because when a person is questioned on that day, they will not go forward until they answer those questions, which will be an indication of where their destination is. Somebody have a sign? Yeah, just send it back that way, inshallah. Naam. Question number 6. Memorize the hadith which mentioned the questions that will be asked of every person on Yawm al-Qiyamah. That will be asked of every person on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Naam. Ibrahim. لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع عن عمره فيما أبناه وعن ماله أين اكتسبه وفيما أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفق وعن علمه فيما فعل وعن شبابه وعن جسمه. شبابه أو جسمه came in different narrations. نعم. فيما أبلاه. نعم. Anybody know the meaning of this hadith? Yani that, ya Elihu. Elihu. Paip. One part of the question now.
The 2 feet of the.
The 2 feet.
Will be moved from the place of.
Judgment. Will not move on from the place of questioning on Yawm al-Qiyamah until they are asked. Four questions. And some of the narrations have 5 questions. Now. And one of those questions. Yeah.
His life span. How he spent.
His life span. How did you spend your life that Allah gave you? Now.
And his knowledge. What he did with it.
The knowledge. What did he do with it? Did he act upon it?
And also his wealth.
His wealth. His wealth. Listen to this. 2 things about his wealth. He'll be asked 2 questions about his wealth.
From where did he acquire his wealth?
From where did he acquire it? How did he acquire it? Lawful means or otherwise? And how did he spend it? Did he spend it in the way of Allah or in other than that? Now.
And also his body, what he did with
it. His body, how did he wear it out? Yani, or his youth in some of the narrations. Yani, shababihi. Now. This is very important hadith, yani, reported by At-Tirmidhi and others. And the wording of this hadith came a little bit different in yani, some of the various narrations, but meaning basically the same. Question number 7, discuss the 5th benefit mentioned by the author of following knowledge with action. The 5th benefit of following knowledge with action. And the follow-up question mentioned 2 affairs for which Allah blames a person related to this particular matter. Now, what is the 5th matter? Waleed. Naam. We didn't hear from Waleed. Pardon. I'm sorry, yeah, Abdul Haq. That's why I started with you, inshallah. Waleed.
The 5th benefit is that they would not fall into the blame.
They would not fall into the blameworthy behavior
so
for which Allah blame people.
Avoiding the prohibition of not following the action.
Okay, they will be avoiding the prohibition. Allah prohibited us from what?
From obtaining
knowledge and not acting upon it. Allah prohibited this. So the person, they will avoid it. If they act upon it, they will avoid falling into this thing that Allah prohibited it. And for which he mentioned 2 blameworthy affairs related to this, which is the next question. Mention the 2 affairs. For which Allah blames a person related to failing to follow knowledge with action. 2 blameworthy affairs. We're going to come back to you, Abdul Haq. Just give him one of them. Sulaiman. Sulaiman, right? Tayyib, that's another question, inshallah. You got it though. That's one of the affairs. What? The affair that Allah prohibited the believer from being described with the characteristic of saying things that you don't do, of saying that which you don't do. And the other one?
مثله كمثل الثمار يحمل أسفارا
يعني
وتشبه باليهود ولا يرضى مسلم لنفسه أن تشبه في نفسه أن يكون شبها لليهود
نعم
لأن قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو منهم نعم ما شاء الله. Okay, that's a complete answer. ما شاء الله. The summary of the answer is that the other matter is what? That the person avoids the blameworthy characteristic of resembling the Yahud, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared to what? The himar, yani the donkey that carries books full of knowledge and doesn't benefit from any of it. And this resemblance is something that we should yani not be pleased with, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever resembles a people, he is one of them. Naam.
I wasn't here for the class, but the ayah that came to my mind was the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ.
Naam. Naam. Do you command the people with good and forget to practice it your own selves? Do you not have aql? Do you not have a mind, an intellect? How can you tell people to do good and then you don't do it yourself? And this also comes under the same meaning here as what we're talking about here. Yani that a person knows good and doesn't act upon it. Question number 9, Suleiman, we're going to give you a chance to answer this question now since you already came with the answer. Memorize the ayat, 61st surah, 2nd and 3rd ayah, in which Allah condemns those who say that which they do not do.
Huh?
The second matter?
Yes.
The second matter was what he brought to our attention, but you want to clarify it? Go ahead. Naam. Allah prohibited the Muslim from this particular characteristic. The characteristic of what? Of saying that which you do not do. Yani, talking about things, this is wonderful, this is great, we're the people of Sunnah, mashallah. But when you go to the Master, you don't even pray Sunnah prayers. Huh? Saying what you don't do. Allah prohibited this for the believer, right? And the ayat is what? Ahsant, ya Suleiman. MashaAllah. You in college?
Yeah.
MashaAllah. College student. College students are supposed to be like better than the rest of us because they're used to studying all the time. Now, oh, you believe, why do you say that which you do not do? This is something that's hateful in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you say that which you do not do. And this is really, this ayat, yani, is really something that the people of Sunnah really have to pay attention to, because we say a lot of good things and it's hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you say something, that you call to that which is good and then you yourself don't act upon it. The last question is, discuss the 6th benefit mentioned by the author of following knowledge with action. The 6th benefit that the Shaykh mentions. Naam. Muhammad or Murshid? I don't know. Which one of you are older? I can't tell. Two young people. Okay, Murshid. Go ahead, Murshid.
Not acting upon knowledge allows people to fall into arguments and disputes and it causes people to corrupt their hearts. So a Muslim should occupy himself in acting upon knowledge and avoid any type of bicker.
Naam. This is a good answer, mashallah. And by the way, these answers, they didn't come from reading the book, right? Because there's no book. We don't have any book for this topic. We don't have any book, right? So that means somebody was writing, taking notes. Yani, the last matter that the Shaykh mentioned of benefit, he said that a person will what? Will avoid, by acting upon knowledge, they will avoid falling into yani, blameworthy disputing, arguing and disputing, yani, that is not in accordance with the way of the Salaf. Just yani, useless, futile arguing and disputing. Because if a person is occupied with acting upon their knowledge, then they will not take the knowledge out of the lofty purpose for which it was intended, and that is to act upon it. And if a person is acting upon it, then they will be doing what knowledge is intended for. They will be acting upon it. If they don't act upon it, then that's when they get engaged in what? Useless, yani disputing and arguing. Yani they have to do something with their knowledge, right? They're not using it, they're not acting upon it, so they use it for argumentation and disputing. Wallahu musta'an. And we know today that there's plenty of that. May Allah protect us from such. Tayyib, these are some of the points that we discussed last week. And today, tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to with the concluding remarks of the Shaykh. There were some questions that he also took at the end, but yani, we won't be able to look at them. We're going to look at what he concluded with. The Sheikh said, بعد هذه الفقرات التي وضحناها وتكلمنا عنها بكلام مجمل فإننا نطالب إخواننا السلفيين بالحرص على العمل والرغبة فيه وأن لا يكون اهتمامهم في تحصيل العلوم فحسب بل ينبغي أن يتبعوا تحصيل العلم بما يرجع عليهم بالخير في دينهم ودنياهم من العمل به والحرص على قيام به. يعني after mentioning these points which we have made clear and we have spoke about يعني in summary or in يعني just يعني مجمل يعني without the تفصيل يعني just in general speech that we talked about here, he said indeed now I want to request يعني ask require from my Salafi brothers to be diligent and eager in acting. الحرص على العمل. Be diligent in this. والرغبة فيه. And being desirous of acting upon knowledge. And not let our concern simply be the accumulation of knowledge and suffice with it. Rather, what is incumbent is that we follow up the seeking or the acquisition of knowledge with that which will bring back or return to us with khair in our deen and in our dunya. Yani, occupy, follow up the achievement of knowledge with the acting upon it, which is the thing that brings back to us or returns to us khair, good, in our deen and in our worldly affairs. Yani, acting upon that knowledge and being diligent and eager to fulfill the requirements of that knowledge. And the reasoning that the Shaykh gives for this, why should we make our ihtimam, our real concern and care, be our aspiration, be acting upon knowledge? فَإِنَّ السَّلَفِيِّينَ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِالْعَمَلْ بِمَا عَلِمُوا لِأَنَّ السَّلَفْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُمْ وهم قدوتهم لأن السلف كان كذلك وعلى هذه الطريقة. يعني the reason why we should be diligent and eager and aspire to act upon our knowledge is because the Salafi people, it is more befitting of them. أحق الناس. It is more obligatory upon them, or they have more right to act upon that which they know. Because the Salaf, who are our example and our model, may Allah be pleased with all of them, that's the way they were. That's the way the Salaf were. You say that you are Salafi, then it is more befitting of you then to act the way the Salaf acted. And they were eager, and they were diligent, and they were concerned, and they aspired to act upon their knowledge and to fulfill the obligations of the knowledge. This was their way. فَهُمْ يَحْرِسُونَ كل حرص على اتباع العلم بالعمل. They used to be very diligent and eager to the utmost in following up knowledge with action. And for this reason, they authored, يعني the Ahlul Ilm, the people of knowledge, the ulama, they authored, يعني the ulama from Ahl Sunnah, he said. For this reason, they authored many books concerning az-zuhud. For this reason, they authored many books concerning the topic of what? Az-zuhud. What is az-zuhud? Asceticism. Huh? Asceticism? That's that's the word that they translate it as, naam. But I don't know, there was a time where I didn't know what is asceticism. Yani, what does that mean? Yes, Suleiman, give us something a little bit easier.
To practice poverty, like not poverty, but consuming a little bit.
Okay, yani, not being engaged, consumed, desirous. Yeah, divorce yourself from the world. Not completely divorce yourself from the world, but not letting the seeking of the dunya become your main concern. Not divorcing yourself from the world. As the Sufis say, go in a cave, go hide someplace, separate from the world. No, we don't mean that. As zuhud, it means that a person doesn't make their every concern the dunya. Their greatest concern, the seeking of the worldly things. That their mind and their heart is occupied with the dunya. Rather, Yani seeking things of the dunya that are lawful, that are necessary, is perfectly fine. Yani a person, the zahid means what? That the person's main concern is not the dunya, rather they suffice with the dunya whatever is necessary, but their main concern is the akhirah. Naam, ya Ibrahim.
I was going to say to not to take from the dunya only what is necessary, only what you need.
To take from the dunya what is necessary, what you need.
And to firstly abstain from the haram, and even to also abstain from things that are mubah.
And to abstain from the haram, and even sometimes even some things that are mubah, yani over indulging in them. Naam.
But like, didn't the Prophet whenever Allah bless you, wouldn't you like to be seen upon you?
If Allah blesses you, yani, if Allah gives you a ni'mah, then you should show it. But doesn't mean though, here we are not saying zuhud, that a person can't have a new thawb or a new pair of shoes or slippers. We're not saying that. That's the extremism, false idea of a zuhud, of the Sufi people. They say you should walk around in rags. We're not saying that. We're not saying that. But what we're saying is don't be extravagant. Don't be extravagant. Don't be wasteful. Don't go beyond what's necessary. Yani, be moderate. Okay? Be moderate. That's what we're really saying. Anyway, the point here that I wanted to make here is that there is a concept of a zuhud. That's the concept of the Sufis. And there's a concept of a zuhud that is the real zuhud of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba and the Salaf of this Ummah. And the Shaykh is alluding to that here. And what in that which he says which follows. Okay, the important point here is that a zuhud, he said that the scholars of the sunnah, because of their concern with acting upon knowledge, they wrote books on the topic of a zuhud. Right? So that people will know, yani, really what we should be engaged with in this world. What are the things that we should be engaged with? Not just seeking material of this world, not just seeking the pleasures and enjoyments of the dunya. So the Shaykh, he said, yani, because of their diligence and their eagerness to follow up knowledge with action, they authored, the people of Sunnah, the Ahlul Ilm and Ahlul Sunnah, they authored many books in Zuhud. And then he says, وَفِي الْحِرْسِ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ, yani being diligent and eager in acting upon knowledge, وَفِي تَحْذِيرِ مِنْ تَرْكِهِ, and warning the people from abandoning acting upon knowledge. And then he said, and their books, he went on to say what? وَفِي الزُّهِدْ فِي الدُّنْيَا, yani abstaining from unnecessary occupying oneself or consumption of the things of this world, بِمَعْنَا. And here he says, what he means by الزُّهِدْ? Yani their books on zuhud was what? الْعَمَلْ بِمَا شَرَعَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani الزُّهِدْ means acting upon what Allah has legislated. It doesn't mean denying yourself and depriving yourself of that which Allah made lawful. It doesn't mean that you have to walk around in raggedy clothes, that you shouldn't, yani, have something decent or clean or good to wear. It doesn't mean that you have to ride a bicycle and you can't own a car. It means that you are acting upon that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated. And then he goes on to explain what he means by that. What is this zuhud? Yani, the zuhud is acting upon that which Allah has legislated, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْحِرْسِ عَلَى اِتْيَانِ بِالْمُسْتَحَبَّاتِ والنوافل والابتعاد كل ابتعاد عن اتيان يعني المنكرات والموبقات. يعني he said that acting upon what Allah has legislated includes being eager and diligent in doing, performing the things that are mustahab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commended, that are praiseworthy, that are beloved by Allah, and the nawafil, the voluntary duties above and beyond what is obligatory. Not just what is obligatory. But they wrote books about what? About also being diligent in fulfilling or yani doing those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommended, that Allah yani commended that we be engaged in, even if they are not obligatory, and avoiding the munkarat, the great evils. The great evils. Like fornication and intoxicants and gambling and riba and things like this, and the mubiqat, yani those destructive evils that destroy a person's akhirah. Acting upon what Allah has legislated, being diligent, not just in what is obligatory, but also in that which is mustahab, and that which is nafila, and avoiding not only that which is haram, but avoiding the other types of evils that Allah dislikes, and the things that destroy your hereafter. هذا زهد هو الذي كان السلف أولى به من من اتصف أو انتصب إلى صوفية أو غيرهم من من زعم الزهد وليس بزاهد. He said, this is the zuhud which the Salaf, the early predecessors, the righteous predecessors, the Sahaba and those who followed them, this is the zuhud that we have more right to, that the Salaf have more right to. Yani, as opposed to that which the Sufiya and others, people of deviation, are described with or that they ascribe to themselves. That zuhud which is just extremism in claiming to divorce yourself from the world beyond that which Allah has legislated. Going to extremism, even avoiding that which Allah has made lawful. Yani, even avoiding that which a person is entitled to, has a right to. They just said, just divorce yourself from the world, cut yourself off from the dunya, don't do anything, just barely eat and barely clothe yourself until you die from poverty. No, this is not zuhud. Poverty is not zuhud. Zuhud is what? Abstinence from overindulgence beyond what's necessary in the affairs of the world to the detriment of seeking the pleasure of Allah and the hereafter. He said this is what the Salaf have more right to and that they were described with, as opposed to those people, the Sufi and other deviants, who claim zuhud. And in reality, they are not, yani, the people of zuhud. For this reason, they authored concerning az-zuhud, kutuban kathiratan, many books concerning az-zuhud. From them are books mustaqilla, yani books that are exclusively dealing with the purpose of, with the subject of zuhud, yani to the exclusion of anything else. Yani they wrote books, the whole book is about az-zuhud. And from them are also chapters that are in the bigger books of the imams of the sunnah, chapters dealing with az-zuhud, like that which is included in the books of the imams al-Bukhari and al-Imam Muslim and Abu Dawud and al-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah and others besides them who collected books of the sunnah, and within their books they, yani, made a chapter for az-zuhud. And also he said they put in these books, yani in their books, the sunan and the siha, the big books, chapters concerning az-zuhud and al-raqa'iq. Yani raqa'iq, those affairs, yani which the Prophet ﷺ, yani commended us to be engaged in from the things that are, yani, softeners of the heart, that soften the heart. Those things that soften the heart, that make a person inclined, yani, away from the dunya and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which He has prepared in the hereafter. And the scholars, he said, أَلَّفُوا الْعُلَمَاءَ فِي ذَلِكَ إِسْتِقْلَالًا. Some of the scholars, they wrote books which were exclusively addressing, yani independently dealing with the topic of az-zuhud. And he mentioned some of those scholars who wrote these independent books, like Al-Imam Ahmed. He wrote a book, yani, called az-zuhud. Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, the author of the Musnad, he wrote a book called az-zuhud, in which he exclusively dealt with this topic. And others like Ibn al-Mubarak, yani Abdullah Ibn al-Mubarak, and Waqi' and Abu Dawood, and others, he said, these scholars from the people of Sunnah authored books in az-zuhud, yani that exclusively deal with this topic alone, and these books are worthy of our attention, that we go back and look at some of these books from the great authors of the people of Sunnah. And he said that we should give care to these books, yani, and to this affair, and we should be diligent and given weight, yani making it something of importance, that we look at this topic of az-zuhud and the books that are written by the scholars of the people of Sunnah and trying to benefit from what they have collected in these books from the Sunnah in order to bring ourselves, yani to distract ourselves from the dunya and to attract, yani to turn towards the akhirah. He said, we are most right to be of those people, yani following that which has been authored by the scholars of the people of Sunnah. We have most right to follow in their path and to follow in their footsteps. After this, the Shaykh said, so it is obligatory upon us to give care to this particular affair, to give our full attention to it, to devote our attention to it. It is obligatory upon us to know, and it is obligatory upon us to know that acting upon knowledge is divided into two divisions. Acting upon knowledge is divided into two divisions. ينقسم إلى قسمين. The first division is قِسْمٌ وَاجِبٌ فَرْدٌ. The first division is the knowledge, which is obligatory. وهو العمل بالعلم الذي تفيد الوجوب كالصلوات الخمسة والصوم يعني رمضان وأداء الزكاة لمن وجبت عليه والحج حج البيت لمن استطاع عليه سبيلا مرة في العمرة ونحو ذلك من العلوم. يعني the first division of يعني knowledge in reference to acting upon knowledge is the division of the knowledge which is obligatory, the division which indicates to us those things that are mandatory for us to do, like the five daily prayers, like the fasting of the month of Ramadan that is in front of us now, and the giving of obligatory zakat for those who it is obligatory upon, and making pilgrimage to the house for whoever is able to find a way there, at least once in a lifetime, and what is similar to this, the knowledge which points us to those things which are obligatory. So whoever knows that it is haram to engage in riba, then it is obligatory upon him to act on this knowledge. Whoever knows that riba is haram, it became obligatory upon them to act upon it, even if it involves some hardship. Even if it involves some hardship. Like the brother who has a house with his relatives, they own it together and they bought it on interest when he wasn't practicing Islam. And now he came back to Islam and he's trying to get out of it and he's trying to figure a way, and they said, okay, look, we'll pay it off in 3 years and then after that we'll be free from the riba. And I said to him, what if you don't live 3 years and you die in this condition? I said, why don't you just sell the house to them and let them pay you whenever they can pay you, in 3 years or 5 years and 10 years, and at least you are free from it. If a person knows that riba is haram, it's obligatory upon you to act upon that. If a person knows that zina, fornication, is haram, then it's obligatory upon you to act on this knowledge, and so on. Yani, this division of the knowledge is obligatory upon you to act upon it. And it is not permissible for anyone to abandon acting upon this knowledge. Because whoever does not act upon this knowledge, then they have become a sinner. The second division is al-ilm al-akhir huwa ilm yustahabbu al-ityan bihi wa yuhmadu man ata bihi. Yani, this is the knowledge which it is commendable, it's beloved, it's praiseworthy that you act upon it. It's praiseworthy if you act upon this knowledge. Whoever doesn't act upon it, they will not be sinful. Whoever didn't act, this is the second division of knowledge. Yani, it's commendable to act upon it. If you didn't act upon it, it's not a sin. This is in reference to the things that are mustahab, that are commendable, that are praiseworthy, that are beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like the voluntary acts of worship, like voluntary prayers, extra prayers, or voluntary fasting, yani outside of Ramadan, and so on. Voluntary hajj, a person already made the once in a lifetime obligatory hajj and they want to make hajj again. Or voluntary charity, just extra above and beyond what is obligatory. This knowledge, yani, that relates to these affairs is not obligatory for you to act upon it. Rather, it is commendable, it is praiseworthy that you act upon it if you know it. And it is really more important that the person who knows this knowledge, that they utilize it, that they do act upon it. However, if they didn't act upon it, then it's not obligatory. Acting upon knowledge is divided into two divisions. Knowledge that indicates that which is obligatory, you must act upon that knowledge. If you didn't, you became sinful. And knowledge that indicates something that's commendable, that's praiseworthy to do, but it's not obligatory, it's commendable and it's praiseworthy to act upon it. If you didn't, then you are not sinful. Okay, the Shaykh, he says here, and these are his, yani, we're coming near the end of what he's saying here. Very important point here. Al-amal, bilhamdulillah, وبحمد الله الأعمال كثيرة ويسيرة. And we're talking about acting upon knowledge, right? The Shaykh is saying here, the actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have legislated, whether obligatory or otherwise, there are many. There are so many things that we can do that in order to earn the reward of Allah and nearness to Him. There are so many things. And some of them are easy to do. Like what is easy to do? Like saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And yet, how many people got up from the congregational prayer? They came all the way to the masjid to pray in jama'ah, and when assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, they ran out of the masjid. They didn't take the time to say, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. How easy it is to do. If a person did that, knowing what they are saying, understanding its meaning, and its importance, and how it is beloved by Allah, there will be a tremendous reward for them. It's something that's easy to do, but many people don't do it. The Shaykh said, the deeds that are in front of us, that we can do, are many, and some of them are easy. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُهَا إِلَّا مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ عَلَيْهَا وَعَوَّدَ نَفْسَهُ عَلَيْهَا. But it's not, no, the people are not going to be able to do it, except the one who strives against himself, who forces his nafs to act upon these things, and trains and conditions himself to do it. And there's an ayah in the Quran where Allah says, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Yani whoever strives in the way of Allah, he is doing this for his own self. A person has to force the nafs to surrender, to submit, to comply. Nobody will be able to do these deeds, though there are many. You can pick any of them, and they are easy to do, many of them. But lakin, you will not be able to do it unless you make jihad against your nafs, and you train yourself to do these things. Because the nafs, it is obstinate, it is stubborn, it is strong, it is resistant. The human being is not able to force it to comply, to surrender, bisuhula, with ease. No, it is difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّ. That the nafs, it commands you to do evil. It is upon you to resist, to strive against it, to fight it, to subdue it. This nafs, it's not possible for a person to get control of it, to master it, to take it by its reins, like you take an animal by the reins and control it, to force it in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa idha jahadaha haqqa mujahada, except that a person strives against it in the way that is necessary in order to force it to act upon that which you know. For indeed, acting upon knowledge, يحتاج إلى تمرين ويحتاج إلى الصبر والمصابرة. يعني, acting upon knowledge requires training. As we mentioned in the example of يعني, some of the scholars of the past concerning the nafs, right? The parables related to the nafs. And one of them was what? The horse, the baby horse that has the potential, but it has to be trained. It has to be disciplined. It has to be brought under control in order for you in the future to benefit from it. This is how the nafs is. It has to be trained. It requires training. The nafs requires training. It requires patience. It requires persistence, perseverance. Huh? And this is something the Shaykh says, وَهَذَا بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يُحْتَسَبْ بِهَذِي الْأُمُورِ. And this thing is something that a person can, even if they were not born with this characteristic or this quality, they can achieve it. You can earn it. You can learn it. So whoever is patient and whoever is persistent, then they will reach the stage of acting upon knowledge, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. That indeed, knowledge is by ta'allum, by learning, by seeking it. You don't just have knowledge, you're born with it. Rather, you have to seek it. وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. A person is not, يعني, huh? الْحِلْمُ, not well-mannered. يعني, forbearing. A person doesn't have this forbearance. يعني, being patient with others and whatever came from them. Not being hasty in acting and responding, in yani responding to people. A person may not be born with this characteristic. Rather, it is something that you can earn, that you can acquire. By what? By striving to be patient, to be forbearing. إنما العلم بالتعلم وإنما الحلم بالتحلم. ومن يتحرى الخير يعطه ومن يتوقع الشر يوقعه. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever seeks out the khair, then they will be given it. And whoever seeks to protect themselves from evil, they will be protected from it. Naam. The Shaykh, he says, this hadith, it is an evidence that whoever strives to seek good, then, yani, he will be given success by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do good. And whoever makes an effort to protect themselves from evil, then that person will be protected by the permission of Allah and be enabled to avoid doing evil. And these affairs are affairs that one can learn, can, yani, practice and be able to do with, yani, by exercising the nafs, yani, by training the nafs and developing the nafs to act upon it. So if a person did so, then they will achieve much good in the religious affairs as well as in the worldly affairs. And the Shaykh, he closes, and this point here, yani, that we just mentioned now, I think that some of us, we see in the Salaf, in the Sahaba, and the Tabi'in, Atba' Tabi'in, qualities and characteristics that we imagine are, yani, not realistic for us. But rather, what the Shaykh is saying here is that these things that the Prophet ﷺ commanded us and commended us with and made us to know that these are praiseworthy and beloved to Allah, that the people of the past used to do, that we can also be able to do them. By subduing your nafs, by training yourself to do it, in time, little by little. Some people imagine, how can a person fast from dawn until sunset? The Kafirs, they say from sunrise to sunset. They don't know the difference between sunrise and dawn. But that's what they say. You guys fast from sunrise to sunset. No, we fast from sunrise. No, from dawn, before sunrise, until sunset. They said, how can you do it? And I remember military people who were supposed to be disciplined, trained people in a Muslim country. They came, yani, for whatever they came there for, and we invited them to give them da'wah. And they said, you people are fasting from morning until night. How do you do it? I can't imagine not eating all day long. But they could train themselves if they wanted to. If they submitted to Allah and accepted Islam, they could train themselves. And they will be able to do it. Maybe some of you who are not born in Muslim families, like me, maybe the first time Ramadan came, how can we do it? But you train yourself. And some of us, if we don't fast the whole year except in Ramadan, when Ramadan came, we find difficulty. And we force our nafs to submit and surrender, and we train ourselves until after a period of days, it becomes okay. So the way of the Salaf, the things that they used to do, we also can train ourselves to do them. It's possible by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, so I call my brothers. Yani, فَنَدْعُ We call الْإِخْوَ إِلَى تَكْثِيرَ الْعَمَلْ وَالسَّعِي إِلَيْهِ مَسْتَطَاعُ إِلَى ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا I call and invite the brothers to increase in doing good deeds and to strive to doing good deeds as much as you are able to find a way to do so. By Allah, the one besides whom there is no other one that deserves worship besides Him, if we occupied ourselves with action, acting upon our knowledge, then according to our ability, to the best of our ability, we will be amazed at what we are able to do. Then we will find that our nufus, ourselves, will be the most pure of beings and the most high in aspirations and the nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the condition of Muslims today is sad. Yani, it's painful to look at the conditions of the Muslims of today. And he said, I don't say this just about, yani, especially about the common masses of the people. Yani, the regular Muslims. No, I'm saying that this sickness that has overcome the Muslims today overcame most of the Muslims, including scholars, including students of knowledge, including the common masses of the people. Except the one who Allah has had mercy upon. وَقَلِيلٌ مَاهُمْ وَقَلِيلٌ مَاهُمْ As the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, and little are those, few are those who escape from this sickness that we find the Muslims in today, yani a condition that's due to us not acting upon our knowledge. So it is incumbent upon us to raise ourselves above this affair and to strive to return to that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon and his noble companions was upon, and that is that our aspiration, our goal, our objective be to act upon our knowledge. So as much as a person learns knowledge, then they must act upon it. They must apply it. They must apply that knowledge. And in this way, the Muslims will be strong. And in this way, the Muslims will achieve sa'ada, happiness and success in the next life. And then the Shaykh, he closes by saying, وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي حَيَاتِ الْمُسْلَمِ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهَا عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ يُقَرِّبُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. La khayra, absolutely there is no khayr in the life of the Muslim that doesn't entail, if his life doesn't entail doing righteous deeds that bring him near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there's no khayr at all. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala akthara min dhikri al-amal fi kitabihi wal-amr bihi, biha wal-hath alayha bal akhbara anna hadhihi al-hayat أن هذه الجنة بما كنتم تعملون. يعني the Shaykh, he closes, and this is the end of what he says. He said, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned doing deeds in his book so much. يعني the importance of acting and commanding the people to act and encouraging the people to act. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us that this Jannah, يعني the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is due to what we were doing, yani our actions. That is, we have achieved the Jannah. He said, Ya Ahlul Jannah, you achieved Jannah bima kuntum ta'amaloon, due to what you have, what you used to do, ba'da fadlillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa rahmati. Na'am. He said, you have achieved Jannah, or you will achieve the Jannah, yani due to your deeds, after the fadl of Allah and the rahmah of Allah. And then the Shaykh closed with supplication. And we have a few minutes left, yani, to our hour. So I just want to, yani, clarify, yani, the last point that the Shaykh makes here, which I think is of the utmost importance. I just want to mention some clarity concerning this point. What he said is absolutely correct, but I just want to bring it out, yani, a little bit, because he mentioned it in the end of what he said, and he closed on it, and that is, the importance of deeds is seen in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that you have achieved Jannah due to your deeds. And the Shaykh says that is after the fadl of Allah and His rahmah. That's very important. That we don't imagine that due to our deeds alone we will enter Jannah. Rather, yes, deeds play a great role. Because it is due to our deeds, our good deeds, that we earn the rahmah of Allah and the fadl of Allah. Yani Jannah is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to His favor, His bounty and His mercy, which is achieved, His mercy and His bounty is achieved due to doing good deeds. Yani the person who does good deeds, due to doing good deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives you His mercy and His bounty, the Jannah. You didn't earn it like you paid for it with good deeds. That's the point that the Shaykh is mentioning here. And I just want to read from A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura, the اعتقاد الطائفة الناجية المنصورة الشيخ الحافظ الحكمي رحمه الله رحمة واسعة. Tremendous book. We read from this book a few years ago when I first came to New York. We read for about 1 year from this book. A lot of benefits the Shaykh he has brought to us. And like Shaykh Ibn Burjis Abdul Salam, يعني Shaykh al-Hakimi died very young. He died يعني when he was in his 30s or early 40s. Very, very young. But he wrote this book, and in this book, this is the last point that we want to make to clarify the Shaykh's point. He said the meaning of the hadith, that no one of you will enter Jannah by his deeds alone. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no one of you will enter Jannah by his deeds alone. Concerning that hadith, and how we reconcile it with the ayah in the Quran, which the Shaykh alluded to in the end of his speech, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it will be called out to the people of Jannah, that this Jannah, you have inherited it. Bima kuntum ta'amaloon, due to the deeds that you used to do. What is the reconciliation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the Quran that the Jannah you have inherited it due to your deeds, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying nobody will enter Jannah by their deeds alone. Shaykh al-Hakami, he says, will a person enter the Jannah or be saved from the hellfire by his deeds? The Prophet ﷺ said, قَارِبُوا وَسَدِّدُوا وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ لَنْ يَنْجُوا أَحَدٌ مِنْكُمْ بِعَمَلِهِ. Yani, know that do the best you can, and know that no one of you will enter the Jannah by his deeds alone. They said, Ya Rasulullah, wala anta, not even you. He said, wala ana, illa ayatagamadani Allah bi rahmatin minhu wa fadlin. Not even the Messenger of Allah will enter Jannah by his deeds alone, unless Allah covers him with his mercy and his favor. So the Shaykh, he mentions this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others. And then he says, how do we reconcile between this hadith that no one will enter the Jannah by their deeds alone? Not even the Prophet ﷺ said, not even I, except that Allah covers me completely with his rahmah and with his fadl. The Shaykh, he says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَنُودُوا أَن تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. It will be called out to the people of Jannah that this Jannah, you have inherited it due to the deeds that you used to do. He said there's no contradiction, alhamdulillah, between this, because the ba, yani, that is affirmed in the ayah, yani, where Allah says that you inherited the Jannah bima. This ba, bima kuntum ta'amaloon. This ba is ba as-sababiyya. Yani, meaning that you inherited the Jannah bima, yani, due to the reason of you having done good deeds. This is ba as-sababiyya. And for Arabic students, pay attention. Ba as-sababiyya. لِأَنَّ الْعَمَالَ الصَّالِحَ سَبَبٌ. Because your righteous deeds are a sabab, a cause or a means fi dukhul al-jannah, a means through which you might enter the Jannah. But you will not enter the Jannah due to those deeds alone. Indeed, the Jannah, which is what you will achieve, you will only achieve it if there's something that becomes a cause or a means to achieve it. And this, yani, sabab, the sabab of you entering Jannah is your doing of good deeds, which entitle you to earn the mercy and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the ba in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that no one will enter Jannah by their deeds alone, that ba is ba athamaniya. Ba athamaniya, meaning the ba that indicates the, yani, the price, the cost of something. Yani, you don't enter Jannah because you have paid the price by doing good deeds. Rather, you enter Jannah because you have done something that becomes a means through which you earn the favor of Allah and His mercy. And even if a person were to spend his whole life in doing all of the good deeds that are pleasing to Allah and avoiding evil deeds, the Shaykh Hakimi, he says, they wouldn't even have achieved 100%. Yani, they wouldn't have paid even 0.01% of the smallest ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have. And for this reason, indeed, we cannot claim that we have paid the price for entry into Jannah. Rather, what we have done is we have come with the means or a cause to earn the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir mentions under this ayat in the 7th surah and the 43rd ayat, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir says that you will enter Jannah, yani you will have inherited Jannah due to the deeds that you have done. He said, "A bi sababi أعمالكم نالتكم الرحمة فدخلتم الجنة وتبوأتم منازلكم بحسب أعمالكم وإنما وجب الحمل على هذا لما ثبت في صحيحين عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم." Where he said, no one of you went to Jannah by your deeds alone. Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir says that you inherited the Jannah بما كنتم تعملون. He said, بسببي, يعني, due to the means of the cause of your deeds, you have earned the rahmah of Allah, and therefore you have entered the Jannah and you have taken your places in accordance with the deeds that you have done. And the reason why, he said, what necessitates us explaining this ayat in this way is the hadith that's reported in Sahihain, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated that a person will enter Jannah by their deeds alone, but rather he said no one will enter the Jannah by their deeds alone, not even myself. except by the fadl of Allah and the rahmah of Allah. And this doing of good deeds is the sabab or the cause of you earning the rahmah of Allah and the yani fadl of Allah through which you enter the Jannah. So this yani, in closing, I want to remind myself and each of us, yani, this is the end of this topic. Yani, in Ramadan, inshallah, we're going to do a new topic. But I want to remind ourselves that what we have been discussing for the past few weeks and what we have mentioned here right now in the closing of this topic is the importance of doing righteous deeds purely for the sake of Allah alone. Yani, we cannot emphasize its importance enough. However, at the same time, we also have to keep in the forefront of our mind that doing good deeds is a means to earn the mercy of Allah and the favor of Allah. It is not the price that you pay to enter Jannah. Like, if you did a lot of good deeds, Allah must admit you into Jannah. No. We want to keep that in the forefront of our mind, that doing good deeds is of the utmost importance because it is through those deeds that we earn the rahmah of Allah and His fadl. But it doesn't mean that now we are entitled and we are guaranteed. Rather, it is Allah's mercy and His favor upon us, and we have to keep it in our mind to humble ourselves and not become yani over amazed with our deeds, and we begin to think that we are something special, we are better than other people, we are great, and this is a danger, a sickness that causes us to eliminate, to invalidate our deeds. Now,
the speech of the Sheikh just reminds me of the last class we took.
Now,
the tafsir of Ibn Abbas of the ayah Surah An-Nur. وَلَوْلَا فَضُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبْدًا.
نعم.
And he says that this means مَهْتَدَى أَحَدٌ مِنْ خَلَائِقِ لِشَيْءٍ يَنْفَعُ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ وَلَمْ يَتَّقِ شَيْئًا مِنْ الشَّرْءِ يَتَّقِ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ يَدْفَعُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ.
نعم. That nobody would do any good deed to that they would benefit themselves from or abstain from any evil deed that yani to prevent harm from coming to themselves except it is by yani the favor of Allah, by the mercy of Allah, the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we want to keep in mind. Is it about the subject?
Yes.
Good.
How can we obtain the mercy of Allah outside of doing good deeds? And doing good deeds, but outside of...
Well, when we say good deeds, then also we should include in that, right? Al-Iman wal-Amal al-Salih. Yani, all of what Iman includes. Iman includes doing good deeds. But first and foremost, the mercy of Allah is achieved by believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most important thing that a person can do to attain Allah's mercy is to believe in Allah. Yani to have true Iman in accordance with that which we know yani is the foundations of Iman from the Quran and from the Sunnah. This is the way to achieve yani the mercy and the favor of Allah. First and foremost, by Iman. And part of Iman is doing good deeds. Because Iman is the i'tiqad in the heart, and it is speech on the tongue, and it is the actions of the limbs of the body, the righteous deeds that we do, and our speech, and our belief, and it increases and decreases with obedience and disobedience, and it varies the levels of Iman from one person to another, but it is through Iman, which includes within it doing good deeds that we earn the mercy of Allah and His favor. Naam, Sulaiman. Yeah, we have class in Ramadan, inshallah. The class in Ramadan will be 1 hour before yani the Maghrib prayer, 1 hour before the Maghrib prayer, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. By the way, in the ayat before the ayat that the Shaykh mentioned, in the 42nd ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what means, indeed, those who believe and do good deeds, and we will not place a burden on a person more than they can bear, these are the people who will be in Jannah, abiding in it forever. The people who what? Believe and do good deeds. And we remove, yani, whatever differences are in them from their hearts that they have between themselves, and they will be in gardens underneath which rivers flow. وَقَالُوا And they will be saying, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ أَلَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا Praise be to Allah who guided us to this. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَحْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ And we would not have been guided if it wasn't that Allah had guided us. And that's the point, that the guidance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are mentioning, and some of the scholars said in this ayat, the people of paradise are mentioning the praise of Allah for guiding them, and that they would not have been guided if not for the favor of Allah upon them. And at the same time, in the ayah that follows, it also mentions that people will enter Jannah by their deeds. So that means that this is the combination of recognizing that the deeds are important, but at the same time, even our deeds, we would not have done them if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabling us to do good deeds by giving us the tawfiq. We're going to stop here, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك